All right, everybody, how about that? Thanks a lot to Rush for another edition of Around the Town Sounds. The time is 6:01. You're listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin. Thank you very much. Mascot Wedding Show is coming up right after. What is this, Mac?
Cheeseburger. Winner.
Let's get to it. The time is 6:04 in the p.m. You are still listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin 90.7 on your FM dial or online worldwide at koop.org. This is the Mascot Wedding Show, radio's hour of unspeakable power. My name is David Hodda.
And my name is Mac Blake. This is the show where you open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's show or today's conversation, please do. The phone number is 472-5667. 472-KOOP. I paused on there because I thought I was giving my own phone number once again, which I did to someone else this week.
That's right. A terrible habit made its way to the internet.
It's just my usual habit of giving out my number nonstop to ladies.
Sure.
Or fellas. Wait, that's what?
And we're off.
Yeah, awful jokes to begin. Can we start over? Can you just hit the dump button?
It doesn't go back 3 minutes.
Hey, anything said in this show is just the opinion of the person that said it, nobody else. We start off the show with the band Cheeseburger and their song Winner off their forthcoming album, Another Night Down the Drain, I believe it is called.
Sure.
That was off the Winner single, so whatever.
Was that inspired by your love of Charlie Sheen?
No, I did. When I saw Cheeseburger live, they did comment on it, and I feel like they had to.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, we were talking about this and our love of saying that it's winning time.
Of course, because the big hand is on the W every Saturday at 6.
It is right now, and that monster, that Coke monster, Charlie Sheen. Yes. I love Coke. That's what he sounds like, right?
Well, he's more of a meth head.
I love meth.
There you go.
That's online. Yeah, and I love slash hate they were talking about that guy.
Sure.
Except the place we'd love. Hey, we got an awesome show today.
Good heavens, yes.
We're going to have an interview with Mr. Dan Telfer later in the show. The very funny, touring stand-up comedian. But in studio, a person to help me with that interview, very funny comedian, is Carrie Lindo.
Yay.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Friend of the show, I should say.
Ooh.
Show contributor also. Thank you for that field report from Doggy Days or whatever it was called the other day.
Oh yeah.
That's right.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
As did we all. Oh, by the way, anytime you want to talk to us during the show, you can tweet at us. We are at Mascot Wedding. I have it open right now, and I will see it if you send it.
So Carrie, how the hell are you?
I'm doing okay.
Did I catch you off guard with my jovial attitude?
Perfectly okay.
Yeah. Good.
And you are, well, besides that we like having you on the show,
yes.
What's the other reason that you're here?
Ladies Are Funny Fest.
The Ladies Are Funny Fest, which is going to be here in Austin, when?
May 5th through 7th. So pretty soon. So
that's coming up. That's two weekends. A
couple weekends, so start planning.
Yeah, and what?
Give us the juice.
Yeah.
Well, it's 3 nights at Salvage Vanguard Theater. And it's basically people from all over the country and internationally. It's
what?
Canada, but, you know,
that
is not
Who's
our country.
Who's coming down from Canada?
There is an
not
improv
with that
group,
attitude.
And there's also a stand-up.
Oh, okay.
Who has a very complicated last name, so I won't try to say it.
Some kind of ethnic name?
It's long and
poor. Are you talking about
Ramirez?
Ramirez?
And, you know, there's a lot of great comics from New York, sketch groups, improv, stand-up, one-woman shows, everything in between.
That's cool.
And
and where can they go for more information? Would you happen to?
Ladies Are Funny Fest style WordPress. Or
sure.
You can check out the Gannap Theater website. We'll probably have a link on the calendar to it.
Excellent.
Is that how you say, because Gannap, of course, is G-N-A-P. Mm-hmm. Do you say it like that to emphasize the fact that it's got a G on it, or do you say it like that because that's how they say it?
Because other people were saying that, so that's what I did.
So you fell into the pressure.
Uh-huh.
Way to go.
Uh-huh.
And so what is your role in Ladies Are Funny Fest?
Yeah, why do you care besides being a funny lady?
I'm helping out with a lot of other wonderful local ladies. We're all just working on it for free because we love it. We love the ladies doing comedy. And we put it together. It'd been put on for the past, this is the fifth year anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
The past 4 years, a improv, great improv group called Girls, Girls, Girls had put it on. And this year, some more girls and some more people got together.
Okay.
And making it happen. There's going to be a late night, midnight, dirty show on Friday.
A
family friendly kind of 7 o'clock Saturday show too, depending on what you're into.
Yeah, that's all well and good. Going back to this dirty show.
Dirty show. Uh-huh.
So like, how blue is blue?
I mean, I can't.
I don't care. I'm sorry.
I was about to quantify.
You don't have to answer the questions that aren't real. No.
I mean, I don't know. I can't predict how blue people will go.
Okay.
But it's midnight.
Yeah.
Hopefully to the point where Friday. You're just real sick of everyone.
Yeah. That's my understanding.
You're just going to have to strangle a man on stage just to get a laugh. That's how. Why am I here?
It's going to be real gross.
Yeah. Like a pie fight or something.
But yeah, this laugh. It's fifth year. And where venues, did you already mention them? Where is this playing at?
It's at Salvage Vanguard Theater.
Okay.
Sweet. That place has got a bunch of theaters, including a secret one that you can only get to if you went to Princeton, I believe.
Yes, that's right.
I didn't know about that. I didn't go to Princeton, though. So that's
about it. Check it out sometime.
Yeah.
Me and the Princeton alum.
But a lot of good groups. That's, I mean, some people have been coming every single year, so we must be doing something right.
Yeah. Well, a greater endorsement cannot be spoken, but yeah.
We must be doing something right. Yeah. Shrug.
Just, cutting edge comedy from across the country, people.
Yeah.
I thought you said across the comet. I was like, please leave your weird...
said something... It didn't come out right.
Please leave your weird religious views outside. I'm sick of hearing about the comet from you. It's going to save us all.
Yes, the comedy comet.
Oh, all right.
So what other radio shows are you stopping by on your radio tour? You're going to do 104.9 The Horn? Going to do 1300 The Zone?
I was going to do some radio shows, The River, like stuff not in Texas, which probably isn't a good idea. But
yeah. The River, that's 102.3, that religious station, right?
Yeah.
Again with the comet talk.
I typed, are there any radio stations called The Mix into Google? And it just exploded. Because apparently they all are.
Froggy. I'm going to hit it.
Oh, Froggy. Yeah. Is that a real station?
I think so. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because you're from Pennsylvania.
I mean, I think it's kind of, I think most radio stations are syndicated now that aren't, you know.
Right.
Unlike this. But so I think Froggy is national.
Really?
I think so. Because
that name is like, oh, we got to brand this thing. This is so good.
Okay, I'm a little lost. I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about. What's the Froggy?
On The Office, I know Dwight's got a sticker that says like Froggy 101.
Oh, really?
I could be wrong. Maybe it's just like, I mean, I had heard of it from Central PA. So.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Stop bragging. You're from Central Penn.
Jeez. I'm not from there. I just went to college there.
Jeez.
Oh,
gosh.
All right.
I just did my studies there.
Where'd you
about
go?
The comet.
Penn State?
Where'd you prep? Thank you, Michael.
Where'd you prep?
I was listening to some other radio this week, and... Here's the thing. I don't know why I do this, but I listen to a lot of sports talk. I know why, because I love sports talk.
Is that AM?
Yeah, it's AM, and there's like one FM station, and they're all just awful. Like, there's like one guy in this town I like listening to, and I was like, oh, I think this guy's pretty smart. And then he just started playing clips from the movie Tombstone and talking about what a great movie it was. And I was like, all right. But I turned to this one station, and Adam Carolla was calling in.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, oh, it's a local show, but it was some chucklehead filling in for Jim Rome. Mm. And Adam Carolla, who, I'm going to be honest with you, back in the day, I used to listen to Loveline. Mm-hmm. When it was him and Dr. Drew, before Dr. Drew became like the world's biggest fame whore.
Of course, yeah.
And I thought that show was
He's trying to help.
Yes.
That's why he was on Dancing with the Stars. who's he helping there? Is that guy Rocco got some problems?
Yeah, he does. You didn't hear about that?
No, I didn't.
He's got a dancing problem.
What does this person say?
We've got Bleo checking in, and she says... Community. Thanks, Twitter.
What does that mean?
She just likes drinking in the afternoons. I don't know what that means, but
community
thank you.
Community radio, maybe?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Right.
But
the
still.
TV show community, maybe?
Maybe. Oh,
do we talk about that? I don't think we did.
About how?
No, we didn't.
About how I'm losing favor with the show community?
But anyway.
Anyway.
The sports talk, Adam Kroll called in and he's like talking about how, he's like, yeah, white guys can't really pull off suits. This is my awful Adam Carolla. But it works because he's awful.
That's not bad.
And then he's like, you know who could pull off a suit? It's the brothers. And I was like, wow, guess what you should stop saying?
Yeah.
Referring to African Americans or black people, if whatever, as brothers.
He's just saying what everybody's thinking, man. That's what Adam Carolla does.
And then another day, God, what was I was listening to, there's that guy who I really don't like. He used to be on 1300. I don't want to use his actual name, so let's call him Bucky.
Okay.
Bucky Godbolt.
Sure.
Oh, wait. And he was telling some dream about how, because Texas A&M is trying to get into, some college students there, mm-hmm. are trying to get into the Guinness Book of World Records by doing the world's biggest spoon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Guinness Book World Records out of hand, by the way. People trying to break records.
Yeah.
Too common.
I think we've broken records by now.
Once the Guinness Book started being like, oh, what's the highest Pac-Man score? Leave it alone.
Yeah, because you couldn't reach that.
It used to be about awesome, like the hardcore stuff, sword swallowing.
Mm-hmm. Nails and fat twins.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
That was always like if you ordered that on the book fair, like in high school or in elementary school, that was always your place to find the fat twins on motorcycles. Or like for some reason, those two brothers were separated at birth. They both became firemen in life.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was doing at the Guinness Book of World Records.
Well, you're never going to see that again. That's what the Book of Records was for, just oddities.
I love how the world's fattest twins were so into it.
Yeah. You kidding me?
It was just one picture. Can you really say they were so into it?
Yeah. It's not like they posed for several shots. And we really haven't seen anything from them since.
Well, if the record is like world's unhealthiest twins, you'd think they would just be back in their cave like shoveling gummy bears into each other's throat. But instead, they bought matching outfits and motorcycles and like riding them around being like, check it out.
Which sort of makes me wonder, like,
because maybe their mom gave them the matching outfit. We don't know. Moms like doing that.
World's most loving mom. World record. I wonder if like someone saw the fat twins and was inspired, like if they're like, we're gonna go after that record and like talk to their twin and like, we gotta start eating more custard and just, you know, tried for the fattest twins record.
Man, how do you feel if you were that mom and you how are you boys doing? They're the fattest twins.
As long as they're happy, who cares, guys?
Yeah. Touche. And then you know what? I'm a little jealous. I wish I had a little scooter to ride around on. So you know what? World's fattest twins, you're doing it.
No, they run motorcycles for sure.
All right, motorcycles then. No one's going to join me in the world's fattest clap?
No.
I'm not clapping to celebrate their morbid obesity. Yeah.
You were the one who tipped me over to the side of being happy for them.
They're a part of pop culture. Let's just leave it at that, guys.
Exactly.
So anyway, you monsters, I was listening to the guy and they were talking about spooning. And then the one awful person, Bucky, was talking about how he's like, I had a dream where Jesus spooned me. And he was talking about, he's like, yeah, he was like spooning me. And he was like dead serious. And he was talking about how, and like the other guys tried to change the subject. Mm-hmm. And he went like right back to it. He was like, no, it was an awesome dream, dude. Like, it's like, I was worried that night and that Jesus spooned me, dude. And then he gave me, he like freed me from worry and I woke up all happy. And the guy's like, anyway, like,
don't run away from my spooning dream, guys.
it was awesome how awkward it was on the radio.
I wonder if we'll have one of those moments today.
Anyway,
I screwed it up.
Yeah.
You know what I'll do? I'll edit that pause into the podcast, so it'll be like really long.
Yeah, we'll win the potty award. that came out weird.
Yeah, because there's no way you're winning. The award. What's my problem? You're doing some other comedy as well.
Yeah.
Oh, Wednesday night at Cold Town with Ramin Nazer and Dan Telfer headlining from Chicago.
What?
That's right. And we'll be talking with him later in the show.
Yeah, yeah. You'll learn all about him.
Yep. And you'll hear my awful, awful interview skills.
No way.
The worst. Yeah. No. I am super glad you helped out with that. After a while, it would have been like, so what are you eating right now? I'm not eating anything.
There was a couple 1,000 degrees times in there. When you like gave me like a thumbs up. Like,
yeah.
It made me feel good. Like I came through.
Oh, man.
My question.
I wish I was here for that. Anyway.
Well, it sounds like, never mind.
I'm a little jealous. I'm a little jealous of the rapport you guys have with national comedians.
That's right. International Tomato.
Yeah, yeah. Mr. Gomez couldn't get me. Couldn't give me a day off for that.
He said, if we both get off, then who's going to go to lunch with him?
Yeah.
I said I'd come back, but he was like, nope.
Well, we had a fun time at Golden Corral, I guess. If he's listening, thanks for the macaroni salad.
Didn't you have some awful person on a bus or something that you wanted to talk about?
No, I didn't want to talk.
What
about
is this person? Is this person keep tweeting at us?
Yeah, it's Bleo again. She says, no, the way Mac says it.
Oh,
community.
We open the phone lines to the community.
There it is. No, actually, I wanted to bring up something real quick before we, I guess we'll take a break soon. I found out something shocking and disturbing.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm getting ready to go on an international trip in June.
Oh, where are you going?
I'm taking a family cruise. I didn't mean to say it that like that because my parents are listening. I'm taking a family cruise with my family, who I love, and it's going to be fun.
Wasn't that
a vacation movie?
Paul Rodriguez movie, The Family Cruise?
Anyway, so I have never gotten a passport before. Mm. So this was my chance to get one. But you've got to go through all the hoops. You've got to like go to the post office and get an appointment to go for some reason, even though it takes about 5 minutes. And you need to get a birth certificate, but not the short one, the long one, which for some reason exists.
There's a wait, a long, what do you mean long one?
There's like the short one, which is just like a card. It's just sort of very basic proof that you exist. But the long one is like more in depth. It's like your hospital, you know, all that sort of information.
Or else people are questioning your existence.
Hey, talk to Obama, huh? He's getting it from all sides. Mm. I'm sorry.
God.
Can't get away from that guy. Yeah, so I had to go and get my birth certificate. And
where do you go to do that?
There's a place off of Lamar. It's like Vital Statistics or something like that. And yeah, they just...
That like, sounds like a Scientology place.
Well...
Come to... Did they make you wear a pyramid on your head? When you got
They tested my T-square.
Thetans?
Thetans, thank you. I couldn't even think of anything Scientology related.
You don't have to do any of that to get on my comet.
Carry enough. No one wants to go on your comet.
I got to buy some Nikes and carry a roll of quarters, which was my favorite thing about the Heaven's Gate cult. God.
How much coconut water is on your comet?
You have to find out.
Oh, jeez. Teaser.
You got to ride that comet.
That's also the name of your debut album, I believe.
Yeah.
Carrie Lenoin, got to ride that comet.
Yeah. Oh, because it's a dance album.
It's the karaoke covers.
Let's bring it back for a second. So I got my my birth certificate, found out something interesting. Hey, Mac Blake, I'm white. Did you know that?
No, you're not.
My birth certificate says I am. I'm guessing it's this. I'm guessing it was, you know, because I was born in 1970. back when they didn't really differentiate between like different ethnicities and races and stuff like
that. Hold on. Why did you go?
Because I don't want to tell people how old I am.
Okay, but here's the thing. Literally, when were you born?
79.
That's the latest you could be in the 70s. By doing that, they will think it's earlier.
Well, maybe I'm trying to impress somebody with my maturity.
In fact, weren't you born in 1979 with 6 days left to go in that year?
6 days to go, yeah.
You're dumb.
I feel like we're taking away from my story. Hey, you can't talk to a fellow white guy like that.
Sorry, you're right. We do talk to each other with more respect.
Exactly. I need to learn that handshake. Yeah.
I apologize for interrupting your story. Please go on, fellow whitey.
No problem at all. Yeah, it threw me for a loop. But my assumption is this. Like, it was back in the time where it was just either you were white or you were black. And so I wasn't black, so I'm white, I guess. That is an official document.
So I assume that only existed in, like, movies, like old movies. Like, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Did they give the birth certificate when you first came out and like the blood hadn't like gone to all your body yet? Is this disgusting? Is this kind of gross? Let's go, Carrie. Judge?
Yeah.
No, she says gross.
Okay.
Yeah, too much. Let David continue.
I don't like this anymore.
No, that's really all I had. And it was just the sort of thing where that's kind of my... It's about 30% of who I am, like in terms of identity and personality. What do I do with this now? I'm not Hispanic anymore. Do I just start pronouncing it like David Jara? And do I start eating more mayonnaise and stuff like that? I don't know what to do with this, guys. Like, why am I 31 years old and just now finding this out?
That you're a white guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Man, I'm sorry all those years I accused you of stealing a job from one of my white friends.
Well,
you were filling that job, bro.
Yeah, exactly. All
this
time.
I'm going to start calling you bro.
All this time, I'd realize I earned everything I've gotten in life. That's insane to me. What do I do with that? Anyway, so that's what I found out. So I'm white. It's weird to say, but it's kind of fun to say. Is that wrong? Is it wrong that I'm enjoying the fact that I'm saying I'm white and I have the documentation to prove it?
This is a weird radio show. I'm not even talking about today's episode.
So what countries are you going to?
Well, I'm going to Mexico.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Oh, see, your whiteness isn't going to help you there.
Oh, I know. What if I get kidnapped?
This is a bad time to be kidnapped in Mexico.
This is like a Twilight Zone episode where it's like, hey, everybody, I found out I'm white. Let's go to Mexico. Uh-oh. And then they sell me for, pesos, I guess they have?
I think they just cut your head off.
Wow.
I don't like that. I'm like Alfredo Garcia.
All right.
Yeah. So we're going on a cruise in June. Family cruise. It'll be fun.
That is fun.
I'm jealous, for real.
You should come. We'll figure out a way. I'll carry you around like luggage, and we'll sneak you on the boat.
Or she could just buy a ticket.
Yeah, I could do that.
I like my plan better. I like the idea of putting a handle on her and carrying her
around
like
a... What if my birth certificate said Mexican?
What? Now you're blowing my mind.
I don't think anyone's birth certificate says that. Because you're born in Mexico.
Yeah.
Nope.
I like you're that. Right.
What if?
It wouldn't even be like Hispanic or Latin. It would just be specifically Mexican.
I think Carrie's going to be performing at Lara later. Ladies are racist rally. Actually, it would have been funnier if it was LARF.
Yeah. I was just about
Ladies are racist and funny.
Checkmate.
Racist at festival. I was going to say ladies are racist festival.
I still like the idea of throwing it in there. That, like, they're still funny, though. Even though they're racist, you'll get a few laughs out of them.
I feel like we've hurt your cause. But let's, before we move on, let's give it one additional plug. If people want to find out more, once again, about the festival lineup and purchasing tickets, they may go to
ladiesarefunnyfest.wordpress.com.
Sweet. And will you be performing at that?
I won't. I'll just be doing all this other stuff.
Taking one for the team, huh?
Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe I'll pop up, you know?
Awesome. Well, she will also be popping up this Wednesday.
Yes.
With Ramin Nazer and Dan Telfer, and more about that later. But first, we're going to take a break and listen to some music. David, what are we going to hear? David says we're going to hear the...
We are going to hear from their new album, Sleep Talk. This is Shannon and the Clams. With King of the Sea, more Mascot Wedding Show after this. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. Sorry, that was a weird way to come back. Hey, this is the Mascot Wedding Show. My name is David Hatta.
My name is Mac Blake, special and studio guest.
Carrie Lendo.
That's right. Carrie came down, that was yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he came down to Co-op Studios, and we recorded an interview with Dan Telfer. And I did not give him a proper introduction on the thing, so I will do it now. He's a stand-up comedian, actor, and writer. His debut EP, Fossil Record, is out on a Special Thing Records, and I think you could find that at specialthing.com, or as Carrie was talking about, just Google it.
Yeah.
He's going to be doing a some sort of show for the Onion AV Club, which you can't really talk about. We'll get into that during the podcast. He will be here this coming Wednesday at Cold Town Theater as part of his Fossil Record tour. Tickets are available on the Cold Town website. If you would like to go there, you may. And as Carrie said, she'll be opening for him as well as Ramin Nazer. And anything else before I start this interview?
No.
Carrie, do you have general thoughts on the interview?
On the interview, it was fun. It was early, but it was fun.
It was. I like you, kid. All right, here we go. We'll be back later. Oh, wait, I guess I should turn it on. Joining us on the phone now is comedian Dan Telfer.
Hi.
And Dan, to start off with, you are going to be in Austin this coming, by the time the show airs, it's the same thing, this coming Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
At the Cold Town Theater as part of your Fossil Record tour.
Yes.
And it's going to be a lot of fun, I imagine. Have you ever been to
I'll be pissed if it's like, you know, everyone shows up and they've just brought all their personal baggage and I start talking to them, and they're like, you know what, and I just want to talk about some horrible things that happened to us as children. It'd be really bad if somebody stood up in the front row and formally announced that in the first 5 minutes of the show.
Does that happen a lot? Do you sense a vibe from someone? You're like, hey, guys, can we stop the jokes? This person obviously had a bad day.
Oh, well, it happens fairly regularly where one person is drunk and, yeah, their bad stuff comes out. Like last week I did a show in Chicago where the weather was horrible. And I was like, we did it, you guys. Like, we packed this place. You know, the weather's horrible. It's a horrible Chicago, like, cold, miserable April day. But we did it. We got out of the house. I'm so excited you guys did it. Who's excited to be here? And, like, three people applauded. And I was like, that's right. Hold on to your baggage. Just be miserable. Think about all the horrible things outside. Don't Don't think of this as a comedy show.
So where are you right now?
I'm in Chicago.
Back in Chicago.
Yes. I'm taking like a week where I go and I shoot this web series I'm hosting, and then I come back to Chicago and I'm a parent and a husband, so I do that business. I write, so I'll do that for a week in Chicago, and then I'll go on the road again.
Yeah, can you talk about the show you're shooting?
A little bit. It hasn't been officially announced yet, so they're trying to keep stuff like the title of it under wraps, but it's for the Onion AV Club. I'm one of two hosts. Myself and the other host are going around the country to pop culture landmarks and interviewing experts on them as we go. And so far I've been to Memphis and New Orleans, and I'll be in Austin next week.
Can you tell us who you're, or what's the pop culture landmark in Austin?
No.
No,
but
secret.
If people follow me on Twitter, they'll see me take pictures of stuff, and I'll drop some pretty fat hints. But I'm not allowed to literally say, like, this is what it's going to be about.
Have you gotten some good food in your travels?
Holy moly, I have. I mean, if I don't know. It's funny because I'm a vegetarian.
Me too.
What?
Me too.
You are? Yeah. And you know what? It's not as common for dudes to be vegetarians because dudes usually like sports and murder. But
about sports and murder? Could you talk more about that? Now I'm interested.
I could, but it's going to be from like a cowering sissy perspective. It's not going to be like wham, bam, kapow.
Oh, you should have started off the show admitting you were a cowering sissy. Now I can just work on dominance for the rest of the interview.
You know what, though? It's going to be a pretty one-note dominance. I'm just going to let you do it.
I dominate nothing. Sorry, go ahead. You were talking about being vegetarian.
Food! It was, you know, it's a religious time of year for folks, and so it was really easy for me to get, like, vegetarian gumbo in New Orleans. And in general, I mean, it's really not that hard for vegetarians to find food. I always hate when I'll go to, like, England or the South and people be like, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to starve to death. You're going to have to eat so much meat. It's like, no, that's just because that's all you eat. That's because just eat the biggest pile of protein that is available to you at any given restaurant, and you don't ever look at the other stuff on the menu.
Yeah, the only
like I went to this awesome place in New Orleans called Dookie Chase in the Treme neighborhood, and it was just amazing. And yeah, I even found stuff to eat in Memphis.
Nice. The only time I've had a really hard time being vegetarian is when somewhere doesn't speak English, and I just can't translate that I don't want meat.
Yes.
I remember being in Germany. It was like, I got to the waiter, okay, this is potato soup, and then there's like a huge sausage in it.
Yeah, like Indian buffets are where I have the biggest problem.
Oh, really?
I don't. What's that?
Aren't there like, isn't like Southeast India or something like, isn't there a section of India that's vegetarian? Did I make that up?
Yeah, there are some.
Okay.
Yeah, and in general, there's plenty of vegetarian food, but if the people at the restaurant don't speak English, it can be really hard to tell which dish has meat and which doesn't.
Yeah, or what is in it at all. Yeah, that's, now I'm on the trolley.
Yeah. Like, if you look at the buffet, it'll even have, like, little signs up with no English on them. Like, oh, okay. There's probably just lentils.
Well, in Austin, you'll be able to eat a lot of delicious vegetarian food. I promise that.
Yeah, it's a progressive town. I'm very excited. I have an old high school friend who lives there. I have a bunch of people I know from the interwebs who live in Austin. I'm very excited to come.
Have you ever been to Austin before?
No, I've never been to Texas before.
Oh, well, it's hot here. That's my only advice.
Well, it's just in New Orleans. I'm not afraid of your sun. Like, I'm not afraid of whatever. I'm not scared.
Good. It's good attitude. I like it. I listened to your album, which is awesome, Fossil Record, put out by AST. And on there, and you also have this dinosaur video, which is pretty 300,000 hits. That's nothing, or views. That's nothing to sneeze at. That's pretty good. But because of that bit, which I think that's the first time I saw your stuff. Do you have people coming to the show like two jokes in, or are they like, dinosaurs? Talk about dinosaurs.
No. I don't think anyone does that to anyone unless you're like insanely famous. But I know people do misunderstand the point of that bit sometimes. It hasn't really been an issue in performance since that video went viral.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, yeah, like people think, like I'll be halfway through the bit and they'll think the point is to stump me. But I'm asking people what they think the best dinosaur is. And there's plenty of room for improvisation in there. But if they did, like people just shout out random names of dinosaurs, I'll be like, okay, why do you think it's the best? And I'll be like, well, I don't know. I'm like, well, what does it look like? And I'll be like, I don't know. Then it's not the best. It's, you don't know anything about it, stupid. Like, do that much homework. At least be able to describe a weird appendage it has or a horrible deformity on its face or why it's got, like, armored shins or something. But, like, yeah, like, people will just think, I said it. He doesn't know the name of this one. It's like, that's not the point.
Do you, has it ever happened where, like, the crowd doesn't know any dinosaur names?
Yeah, but mostly in Iowa where people go to die in mediocrity anyway, so.
Oh, okay. Well, then there you go.
For the most part, like I've gone to places where people didn't, but I think almost everyone knows at least four. So I think sometimes it's more just like people don't want to talk to me because they don't like what I'm selling.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've had a few times where I've tried to start the bit and people have just been like, ugh. Like, ugh, what is happening? Why is he talking to us about this?
I have no patience for this at all.
Has it ever led to any creationist arguments?
Oh no, has it?
One time, like, I've never had that happen in a show. I've definitely had shows go wrong because I've said something a little too progressive for the audience. But one time I was on a radio show in Indiana, and I did sort of a radio-friendly version of the bit on the air because the hosts were, like, a fan of it and were pushing me for it. But it was in Indiana, so I got a lot of emails from creationists who are like, you know, Jesus made a promise that we would, like, just, I should pull it up and read you the email.
Please.
That'd be awesome. This is a stupid question, of course, but do you really like dinosaurs growing up?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I don't really even like, I didn't do any research for the bit. It's almost all like third grade knowledge.
Yeah, I was the video online is pretty impressive because then especially when like people will call or not call in, sorry, when people will shout out stuff like and then you just dominate them dinosaur knowledge wise.
I made a couple of factual errors that I got completely swamped with emails for too. Like I said, Gigantosaurus, and what I meant was Gigantosaurus. I guess those are two different dinosaurs. Gigantosaurus is more of a brachiosaur. Gigantosaurus is more of a tyrannosaur. And people went nuts, like on blogs and emails, just going, this guy doesn't even know what he's talking about.
Well, you are a monster.
I don't have Wikipedia in front of me when I'm doing that bit. Like, I don't. You do. Congratulations. You know how to fact check something stupid.
But then you don't even have to do research. It sounds like the audience will just fact check it for you.
Yeah, but like that was a good audience in that video. Like they busted out Allosaurus and Pachycephalosaurus in that one, which are pretty deep cuts.
Oh, deep cuts. Yeah, you should start your bit by being like, all right, laptop's open, and then proceed with jokes. When I was
speaking of laptops being open, I actually pulled up one of the emails I got from a creationist, if you want to hear
that.
Yes, we do.
Okay. This is from a gentleman. I'll just say his first name was John.
And his last name is?
Huh?
I said that his last name is?
His last name is, let you guess. But he said, I heard you on the blank show the other day. And also, you are supposed to be coming to the Funny Bone in town this next month or so. And I have to tell you, I am disappointed in you. That was all one sentence.
Good sign.
You talked about some dinosaurs and also how you are a liberal, and that way you said it just doesn't fly around here.
Wow.
You can be whoever you want to be, as was God's promise, that we can all be ourselves lest we be judged. I really don't know what he's saying. Like, when he says God's promise, I'm always just like, do people who, not to get too political, but like, do people who believe in God like feel like they've got like a special little like deal with God, like he like God specifically promised them this, and this. I'm pretty sure if anything's supposed to be a metaphor, it's what God promised you. Like, you shouldn't have like a running tab that you bust out on people you don't like. Anyway.
So what would God have promised them, like, that I don't have to hear about evolution or something?
Well, he says you can be whoever you want to be, as was God's promise.
Oh, okay.
Pretty hippie promise.
So God promised you can be whatever you want, but people who are jerks are going to judge you.
Yeah, this is like also a super judgmental email. he continues... Okay, so he says, God's promise that we can all be ourselves lest we be judged. I think that's a misquote. But you were very in my face about it on the radio and made me feel as if you think your opinion is the only real opinion.
Well, first of all, back up from the radio. Second, that's awesome.
I was really in his face on the radio. I leaned in.
I hope this interview is in people's faces when it's on the radio.
Yeah, you people listening at home, I'm definitely trying to make you, like, cry right now. This is all about, like...
Me too.
I know, I can feel it. Like, this whole segment is just about just making people feel like there is a face breathing moist breath into their lungs.
If you're listening in the car, turn up this interview to the point where conversation is impossible. And then, you know, just put your face right next to the radio.
Yeah, or did you guys see The Office last night, where Will Ferrell had like his headphones turned way up and he was like crying because it hurt his ears so much?
No.
Yeah, do that in the car. So your opinion's not the only real opinion. That's not opinions, or the way God says we can be according to His ways. If you are that way, you should be more open and able to talk to people like who live all over Indiana and this great land of ours. Like, try making up more blue-collar stuff, because we like nerds or people like you or whatever, but they have to talk about real stuff, not just made-up stuff or lies or liberal ways and being better than other people, parentheses, or so you think, exclamation point, parentheses.
This sounds
by
like
the way, this has been the same sentence for a long time, and so is this next part. There have been no periods outside of parentheses. So in conclusion, talk less about dinosaurs, but also, just because it is a touchy subject for some people who think they are a different kind of subject, not just quote-unquote science, as you say. And that's it.
That sounds like a speech pattern of somebody who is talking to you like right before they execute you or something. Like the stones are in their hands, like, you know, waiting for the lottery winner, and then here it comes.
I definitely feel like he was talking himself down out of an aneurysm while he was typing.
I pictured a lady. I know you said it was John, but for some reason, I don't know. I thought that for some reason that felt like a lady getting mad. I don't know what that means.
What does that mean, Mac?
I have some issues with dinosaur lady. I love that dinosaurs are a touchy subject for anyone.
Well, I like how there's like a real, like, insane logic to it, but at the same time, almost a gentle, like, hope that, like, we can all be ourselves and, like, get along with you. I feel like he's trying to make peace because he thinks I was literally trying to, like, fight him.
But, like, yeah, you just talking about dinosaurs is like you saying to him, you must believe dinosaurs.
Yeah, and the version of this bit I did on the radio was so weak, like so, like completely, like chamomile teed out, and because, like, in the bit on the internet, I'm like basically screaming at the audience because I know they can take it. But in a radio booth, you know that would read as horrifying, and both to the audience and to the people there. So like I was just deadpan, like just kicking at Asperger's syndrome, like just like completely emotionless about it and just being kind of like a nerd, like a stereotypical nerd, just sort of going, here's a fact, no you're wrong to these three guys.
Well, it was like
for him to think I was that upset, or like, ugh,
chamomile tea in your face.
Yeah, like the kind of I was being the kind of aggressive that somebody who is about to fall asleep would be, like to try to like defend their nap. Like, I was not angry.
Well, now that you've dissed chamomile tea on this hippie town, we might get some emails from that. From these.
Do they not like hearing about chamomile? I heard Carrie respond to that specifically, too. I mean, is that, if I crossed the line?
No, I was just making fun of our stupid city.
How have you guys been since South by Southwest? Have you cleaned up all the hippie muck?
It's not so much.
It's hippie muck. It's Brooklyn muck.
We have to hire a street sweeper to get all the cocaine off the streets. And once our town has been drained dry of vodka Red Bulls, then we, well, that's, they're still there. But that was fun, I guess. When I was a kid, I think it was in like first grade or maybe second grade. But I went up to my teacher and I was like, hey, when are we going to get to dinosaurs? And she's like, what do you mean? And I was like, you know, we've done history. We've done this. Like, I thought dinosaurs were like a subject in school. Like, you know, like, they're like, oh, we do math, you do spelling, and now time for dinosaurs. And when I, like, found that out that it wasn't, I was crushed and, like, went home and was like, hey, Mom, do you know this? And she's like, of course I know this. I'm an adult.
Do you not learn about it in Texas in schools?
Oh, I didn't. Actually, this, I was about to say I wasn't in Texas at the time, but I was. But, yeah, no, we learned about it in kindergarten, and we learned about it in first grade. And then come second grade, I was like, when are we getting to the dinosaurs? But, like, it never happened, and I was mad about it.
Well, I feel like it kind of should be a subject. I think that's part of where my pretend rage comes from. It's just that, like those things were all over the place for a really long time, and they were horrifying looking. Like, why don't we talk about that? It's kind of messed up how they were around hundreds of times as long as we've been around. They were basically demons, and then they all just went away, or are maybe birds.
Yeah, when you talk about history, why couldn't you talk about the time we were ruled by dragons? Like, why isn't that something that comes up every day? It should.
Like, we are so insignificant compared to the horrible dragons. Like, it is so ironic that we keep these little dragons as zebra finches in these little, like, cages in the corner of our homes. Like, that's terrifying to me on a conceptual level. And I think it's funny that, like, yeah, when you're a little kid, they're like, yeah, these things are scary, right? All right, well, you're growing up now. It's time for math. Like, well, what about the demons?
You are in my face right now. I'm not going to lie to you.
Look, I just don't think... that you should have settled for your teacher telling you it wasn't a subject. I think you should have. You should have put your fist down on her desk and smashed her stupid apple that one of the more well-behaved kids gave her.
She said it was God's promise, though, that we got to spelling. So I had to move on. God's
promise. You had to move on.
Yeah.
I think you should have called her a slag.
You know what? I have enough regrets in my life. I didn't need this. I don't need this piled on, Dan. But it's true.
Yeah, you were what? You were what, six? I don't know why you didn't step it up.
You know, that's something I'm really bad at, like knowing how old I am at a certain grade level.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You need to find just a benchmark and then add and subtract from it.
Dan, real quick.
Kindergarten's five.
Eighth grade, how old were you?
13.
Carrie, is that true?
That's what I was going to say.
Ah, damn. I don't know why I'm upset by that. I guess I'm not really.
How old are you right
what
now?
What if Dan was like 17 and we just didn't know that he'd stayed back a bunch?
Wow. I wouldn't have realized it for a while. I would have like had to go home and do the math. And I was like, wait, he was 17 in eighth grade? What a dummy. I was talking to a dummy earlier.
I was pretty stupid in school, though.
Really?
I was so bored, I would fall asleep constantly.
Oh.
That doesn't sound like the Dan Telfer I know.
Well, I've had to make amends as an adult, you know.
That makes sense.
But it would go back and forth. Like, it would depend where I was with my growth spurts. Because if I wasn't very tall compared to everyone else, I was getting beat up constantly, and I'd stay awake pretty well from the bruises. But
that's a bad strategy.
So they were helping you out, the bullies, because you did better in school.
They keep me awake. Yeah. They're like, stop sleeping, dummy.
They're good guys.
I don't know. I think you guys are approaching this wrong. Dan, you were getting physically beaten.
But school is important, Mac.
No, I think you guys. I think you guys are missing a real, like, the key point here. It wasn't staying awake in class that wasn't important. It was the physical violence.
Carrie, I really don't think he's listening to us.
Yeah, I mean, those developmental years. It's harder to learn when you're older.
What's going on? What's going on here?
Look, I got beat up a lot at school because I'm very weird shaped and I'm a bit of an introvert. But listen, like, it was really good that those people just beat the snot out of me, because otherwise I wouldn't have learned my ABCs. 1, 2, 3s.
You wouldn't be able to talk about dinosaurs.
No, I wouldn't remember what a pachycephalosaurus was unless John Strike hadn't been punching me between the eyes repeatedly over and over again.
I have friends that talk about high school like it was a really awesome time, and I don't know what planet they went to high school on, because it was just a giant meat grinder. Like, especially, oh man, middle school gym was the absolute worst. I feel like
gym was the worst.
I feel like if I was going to get stabbed and my ribs pulled out, like, it was going to be in middle school more than high school.
Yes,
because I could be in all the nerd classes, but when it came to gym, it was like everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah, that was totally high school for me. It was I was always like happy, definitely introverted and horrible and like not fun to be around, but happy in the artsy classes. Then yeah, like once you took gym, that was just the like playing tag football with men who had, like, I don't know, strength. That was just the worst.
Yeah. Or like, hey, I bet I'm going to get along well with this kid who's already got a mustache in seventh grade. Oh, what? He's a violent monster? Because his body's got way more chemicals than mine has? Surprise.
Oh, God. Yeah, I remember, too, like, playing tag football, like, just how, like, even, like, we would do, both genders would play tag football together, which was not safe or a good idea.
No.
But, like, I remember there were, like, a couple of normal people in my gym class. And my gym class had, like, 40 people in it. And so when we would break into two teams, like, I would just get pummeled by boys and girls. Like, there were these totally ghetto girls who were determined to win and, like, would slash me with their fingernails.
Wow!
To, like, get the tag. Like, if I was anywhere near the ball, it was so disturbing.
I had a horrifying experience where in seventh and eighth grade in middle school, play flag football. Seventh graders play together, and the eighth graders play together. But one day there wasn't enough eighth graders there, so some of the seventh graders had to play with them. And you know, flag football's not too bad. You pull the flags, and then the ref would go back and forth between the games because we only had one ref or one gym teacher, and they put me with the eighth graders. But whenever the ref would leave, they'd play tackle football. And I was a tiny kid. Just like these huge girls. It's just like, I remember just wanting to cry. I was just so terrified. I didn't want the ball.
I remember like, going around, right? and, like,
no.
And middle school gym was so awful that in high school, I was determined. I was like, I don't want, as a freshman, to be in this gym class with seniors and everything, and they'll feast on my bones. So I will choose a sport and play that sport, and that way I will only be with other freshmen. And then I found out that the regular gym, like the non-sport-specific gym, they just went bowling.
Oh.
And I, at that point, had never been bowling, and bowling had this like mystique, like this alluring mystique to me. And when I found that out, I was like, what? And like smashed my locker. Angry Friday Night Lights jock style. Which, by the way, I started watching a show. For a show about football, that show is so emo.
Yeah, it's definitely
about feeling. You gotta balance.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like, you know, deep looks and then, you know, a lot of slow blinking. And then at the end, you know, rally around the family. And then, like, you know, football scenes. we're talking with Dan, who writes Friday Night Lights. Wait, you don't? Why am I off on a tangent?
But yeah, do you like Friday Night Lights?
So far, yes, I do.
I just started watching it also.
Yeah, it's funny with that show. It's like they are totally like emo. They're totally just like every like there's that like quality to it where you feel like they're all operating on drama queen level of logic.
Definitely.
Like that's who I hung out with in high school was the drama kids, and they're totally acting like. Like, I just don't feel like playing football today. Like, yeah. That would never work.
Yeah.
The problem with that show is when I sort of give up the illusion for a second or I get distracted, and I remember it's about high school, and I just like, hey, guess what? High school doesn't matter. And then I just want to press a button and blow that place up. But then when I'm watching it, though, well, is that a wrong thing to say? Did I just talk about blowing up a school?
Well, no.
I find it a very soothing show. I think it puts me to sleep, but like in a good way. I think it's all the explosions in the sky.
What's a bad way a TV show puts you to sleep?
Well, because it's like boring. This is entertaining, but it's just I think it's the music and stuff. It just makes me want to slumber.
Well, Dan, we've reached the plug segment of the interview. So this Wednesday, you will be at Cool Town Theater at 9:30. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And it's you, it's and the local comedians, Ramin Nazer, and of course, Carrie Lindow. And people, if they have some time, should go to that if that seems like something they want to do.
You can get tickets. I think it's at coldtowntheater.frontgatetickets.com. And it's Cold Town, town ending with an E, like it's old-timey, like we're going to go have a shoot-em-out.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, you have your record, Fossil Record, out on AST Records.
Yeah, it's an EP, so it costs, like, no money. It's 17 minutes of me yelling at people, but it's really good.
Are they still selling it with the three-pack with Paul F. Tompkins and Greg Proops?
Yes, so if you want to get it even cheaper, go to astrecords.com, and you can get me and two other records.
So they get you and you and two records.
Yeah. I will show up at your house in a cardboard box with little holes in the top that they normally use for baby ducks. I'll be making baby duck noises. I'll be curled up in a ball. I'm very, very large. I'm 6'5", but I will crumple my frame to fit in a baby duck box, and I'll make baby duck noises. And when you open it, I will scream at you about dinosaurs until you cry, pass out, or call the police. And if you do any of these things, I will kick your door open and run down the street.
It's a good price.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'd pay to see that show right there.
It's pretty good. If you think about performance art where people come inside your house and scream at you, that's cheap. Like, I think most performers want a higher price than that.
Yeah. You're getting it done. Getting it done, buddy.
And just the live animal shipment alone is very expensive, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know how to do it because I've done it a few thousand times now. Nothing has ever gone wrong, and I don't think anything will go wrong. I think it's a perfect premise.
You know, the first
God's
part.
God's premise.
Yeah, God, it is. Oh, we
God's premise.
Look
everybody.
At that. Look how we did that. Good job, Carrie. I knew there was a reason you were here. Wrapping
like
things
you took
up.
Improv classes.
Yes.
At Cold Town.
It was a good button. It was a good button to end on. So
we mentioned you can get callbacks like that at Cold Town Theater. Austin's Improv.
This has been the Mask Winning Show, brought to you by Cold Town Theater. It's what it is sometimes. But Dan, I'm looking forward to seeing the show, and thanks so much for sparing some time and calling in.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited. Let's do it.
All right, awesome. We'll talk to you later.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. It's the top of the hour. It is 7 o'clock. You're listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin. Mascot Winning Show is getting out of here. Thank you very much to Carrie Lindow. Thank you very much to Dan Telfer. The Clear Spot's coming up next, starting right now. We'll be right back.